As we do every Thursday, we'll start with a little bit of Parsha. You know, over Yantiv, one of the things I think I may have mentioned in a previous shiur, maybe I didn't, I don't know. One of the things that we did in our shul to try to make Simchas Torah a true Simchas HaTorah, despite all of the ways that it couldn't be a true Simchas HaTorah, was that it couldn't be a regular Simchas Torah, I should say, was to encourage people to, and this was based on the advice and suggestion of my friend Rabbi David Sukenik, was to encourage people to find a Sefer that is sort of like your personal Sefer Torah, meaning that one Sefer that talks to you more than all others, that, you know, when you pull it off the shelf, you feel like you're in a warm place, you feel like a certain sense of comfort, and to re-engage that Sefer, to sort of revisit a time when a person felt a sense of great connectedness to the Torah. So that's what we suggested. That's what we suggested to do. Now, for most of us, there are many such svarim. There are many svarim that, you know, you started learning when you were very young, that really turned you on to learning, that got you excited about certain things in learning. One of the svarim, and there are several, but one of the svarim that that I would identify as a sefer that just, you know, sometimes when not feeling particularly excited and I just want to re-energize a little bit and feel a little more connected and feel that sense of nostalgia, for me, one of those svarim is the Emes LeYaakov Al HaTorah, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's commentary on the Torah, and I always try to look back at it. If you ever read the Mavod, the introduction to Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's commentary on the Torah, it is absolutely fantastic. That everyone should read. And the Vartlach are just very beautiful ideas. So I discovered an absolute gem on this week's Parsha, on Parshas Bereishis, when going through a little bit of the Emes LeYaakov. The Medrash tells us that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create mankind, so Nasu Malachi Asharis Kitim Kitim V'Chaburos Chaburos. The Malachi Asharis all took teams. They divided into different groups. They started to gather around and to debate the issue. Chesed Omer Yivra Shu Gomel Chasadim. Chesed said, let HaKadosh Baruch Hu create man, because man will be a Gomel Chesed. He's going to do so much kindness, and therefore will be such a reflection of this Midah of Chesed. Ve'emes Omer Al Yivra Shekulo Shkarim. Emes said, no, don't create him, because man is all sheker. It's, everything's a lie. Tzedek Omer Yivra Shuosa Tzedakos. Tzedek said, man should be created, because man is always pursuing righteousness and justice. Shalom Omer Al Yivra Dekule Katata. And Shalom says, no, don't create him, because he's all about quarreling and fighting, and therefore there's a total lack of Shalom when you have man in the world. So essentially, if you're keeping score of who's on which side, Chesed and Tzedek were in favor of the creation of man, and Emes and Shalom were against the creation of man, which is fascinating on many levels. But the Medrash continues, Ma osa Kodesh Baruch Hu? What did Hashem do? Natal Emes v'shlicha la'aretz. He took Emes and he threw Emes down on the ground. At which point, the Malachi Asharis complained that Hashem shouldn't be throwing his dearest value to the ground. Chosam Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes. How could you take that which is more valuable to you than anything else and just throw it to the ground? And then Emes began to rise. Emes me'eretz titzmach. That Emes began to sprout from the earth. Now, a couple of simple questions on this Medrash. Obviously, Midrashim obviously have very, very deep meanings to them, but just a simple telling of the story over here. If Hashem wanted to throw the opposition to the ground, why did he only choose Emes? Emes had Shalom on its team as well. Why not throw both Emes and Shalom to the ground? They were both equally opposed to the creation of man. Furthermore, why throw Emes to the ground? Just Hashem should snap his fingers and that should be the end of Emes. And, get rid of Emes. What does it mean? Threw him to the ground. And what does that mean? That Hashem throws Emes to the ground and then it sprouts from the ground? What does the throwing to the ground symbolize? And what does the sprouting from the ground symbolize? Furthermore, not related to this Medrash, at least not directly, there's a Gemara in Erevin that we did, over a month ago already in Daf Yomi, in Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, where the Gemara tells us that B'Shah Shatiken Shlomo Erevin Unetilas Yadayim, that when Shlomo HaMelech was Masakin Erevin and Masakin Netilas Yadayim, Yatza baskal va'amra b'niim chacham libe chismach libi gam ani, va'omer chacham b'ni v'samach libi v'ashiva charfei davar. That Hashem took such pride in Shlomo HaMelech's wisdom in instituting Erevin and in instituting Netilas Yadayim, because that is the perfect response to the charfei davar, to the embarrassment of Hashem, to the bush and the chorpa, the embarrassment of Hashem. So a number of things are unclear about that Gemara as well. Who was embarrassing Hashem in the first place that it warranted some sort of response, that like Shlomo HaMelech had to respond to that? And also, if you're going to list the Dinim Drabbanan, the Shlomo HaMelech Institute, how could you leave out Shnios L'Arayos? Right? Shlomo HaMelech, it was not only Erevin and Tilas Yadayim. Shnios L'Arayos were also on the list. So how come it's only Dafka by those? Hashem took great pride in Shlomo's wisdom in instituting these two things. So in order to answer these questions, there's a basic yesod. You know, there's a saying in contemporary, I guess, political discourse in America. There are a lot of sayings that you can't say in contemporary political discourse in America, but there's a saying in contemporary political discourse in America that I never really understood. You definitely hear it more from one party than the other, and I never really chopped like what this saying even means. Like I never really understood what it's all about. I first heard Senator Cory Booker use the phrase a while ago, where he kept on emphasizing this. He happens to be an excellent speaker, and he kept on emphasizing this point. And he kept on talking about that one has to tell your truth. Your truth, the phrase your truth, not the truth, but your truth. That's a very strange concept to me. As if to say, something can be objectively false, but if you believe it to be true, then it is your truth rather than everyone's lie. Right? Meaning that something can be your personal truth. Truth is an incredibly important value to the Ribbono Shel Olam. As we mentioned before, the Gemara tells in the Shabbos, Chosama Shel Kodesh Baruch Hu Emes, the very first three words of the Torah, Bereishis Bara Elokim, are Sofei Tevos Emes. The Baal HaTurim finds five other allusions to Emes in the first 35 psukim of the Torah. If you go through the Baal HaTurim, everything, the whole thing is all about is all about Emes. I remember when I was in Keren Biavner, Rav Blachman used to talk about, I don't remember much of what, I was never on Blachman Shir, but I remember this is one thing that whenever he gave a sicha, he would always come back to this point, that almost every other positive description or positive character trait is somewhat subjective. Right, you can always you can go in one direction or the other. Like, what's good? Is something good? Well, it's good to one person, it's not good to another person. The only thing that's completely objective is MS. Right, something is either MS or it's not MS. There's truth and there's not truth. Right, that's why it's so important that Chosam Shel Kodesh Baruch Hu MS, because it's a pure objective a positive element. Our Kodesh Baruch Hu is MS. So it's so striking that there is this concept that exists in the secular world, at least, and we'll see if it has any relationship to Torah, called your truth. That there is like this idea that MS is somehow not objective, that MS is dependent on what I feel, and if I feel that way, then that must mean that it is true. I mean, we don't have to quote the very famous, conservative Orthodox Jewish commentator that facts don't care about your feelings, but is that something that's a Jewish perspective? That if I, meaning, or is Cory Booker's your truth something that we should be looking at? You know, I have a friend, and this is not meant to be a political discussion at all, but we'll go through Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's Mahalik in just a moment. I have a friend, Rabbi David Rassman, my old chavrusa from YU days, actually. He quotes in his Sefer on Chumash, a Rabbeinu Bechai, that points out that every vowel appears in the first pasuk in the Torah, except for a shuruk, which happens to have the letters of Sheker. Shuruk is Shin, Kuf, and Resh. So it's Sheker. He further points out that the names of the Avos and Imahos also contain every vowel except for the Shuruk. Because our basis, our foundation, is Emes. The world stands on Emes. There is no room for Sheker. Rabbi Rossman pointed out that there was an episode in BMG, which is another yeshiva. We're one yeshiva. There's another yeshiva. It's over the Verrazano Bridge in Lakewood, New Jersey. Many, many years ago, in its early years, they printed receipt books for people who gave donations, and there was a picture of the yeshiva on the cover of the receipt books, and the graphic designer added a tree to the picture to make it look nicer, to make it look a little more inviting, to sort of dress it up a little bit. So he added a tree in the picture of the yeshiva, and Rav Aaron Cutler ordered that they destroy all of the receipt books immediately, because there's no room for the slightest sheker in a yeshiva, which stands for Torah's Emes. And to pretend that it looks a way that it doesn't in fact look, that's sheker. That's what we call PR, but that's sheker. That is not Emes. So while Hashem cannot tolerate anything short of Emes, the nature of Emes, says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, can be something short of absolute. From a Shemayim perspective, ein hachinami, there is only one God, and therefore there is only one truth. However, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu made man with so many different character traits, values, inclinations, beliefs, there can't be a single emes on earth. Kishem shepartzufeyem einon shavin, kach ein deoseyem shavin. No two people are alike, no two people think the same way, no two people share exactly the same perspective. And therefore, from an earthly perspective, Rav Shlomo Zalman called one way, Rav Moshe called another way, and they are both divrei Elokim chayim. They are both absolute emes. So while maybe the notion of your truth, the way it's sometimes used, doesn't quite resonate with us, but on some level it should resonate with us. Meaning on some level we have to have an appreciation that humanity is complex, that people are complex, and that given a person's life experiences, given a person's unique perspective on things, they are able to see things that are true, that someone with different life experiences will see something else as being true, or will not pick up on that truth. Meaning there is, the concept is that not all truths are self-evident to everybody. There are certain things that can only be seen from the perspective of certain people, and that's an artziyastika emes. The emes, as it's sent down to the ground, as it's sent to the earth, has to take on a different character than emes has when it's up in Shemayim. And based on that, we can answer the questions that we started with. When the Medrash says that Hashem threw emes to the ground, it's not expressing a rejection of emes. No way! HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot, would not, he could do whatever else, but he would not reject emes. Rather, it's a changing of the essential character of Emes. It's a remolding of what Emes means. Hashem took Emes, which was previously a concept that lived on only a single plane in Shemayim, and made it more dynamic to bring it down to earth. Hashlichu Artza. There's no room for sheker, chas v'shalom. But it could be that my truth is that you're allowed to brush your teeth on Shabbos, kedas hagon Rav Salvechik Zatzal and Yibadul Chaim Rav Shechter Shlita, and that your truth is that you're absolutely not allowed, and it's a violation of seven different Yisurim, like Rav Moshe Feinstein, or somewhere in the middle, like Rav Shlomo Zalman, or somewhere else in the middle, like Rav Avadya. And it's all true. That's all our truth. So now that Emes comes from the earth, the earthly Emes is able to rise up to Shemayim. Emes me'eretz titzmach. It's able to become this great value that we're able to utilize, we're able to appreciate, and we're able to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with. The Gemara's specific examples of Dinim Drabanan instituted by Shlomo are items that are objectively not emes from a Shemayim perspective. See, Tumas Yadayim, what does it mean? Shomer Melech Nesach and Tilas Yadayim. Tumas Yadayim is not a possibility, Midoraisa. It's not that Shomer Melech was choshesh that your hands might have become Tameh. There's no such thing as your hands becoming Tameh on a Doraisa level. Either you're Tameh or you're not, and your whole body is in it together. There's no such thing. He took something that on a Doraisa level, from a Shemayim perspective, has zero emes to it, and he created a derabbanan emes. You're either tummy or you're not, but you can't, your hands can't be tummy. Eruvin. Eruvin is not a possibility midaraisa. You may be concerned that an area is really Rishus Arabim, maybe machlokas about how to define Rishus Arabim or something, but then an Eruv wouldn't help. The ability of the Chachamim to make takanos as a siyag l'taram, yeah, that applies to all halachos. That certainly would not be a major statement. But and that's Shneos Arayos. But in these two examples, they make siyagim that seem to objectively contradict the Torah. From a Shemayim perspective, these are not emes. Yet when confronting a changing reality and differing viewpoints and differing life experiences that people have, and pressures that people have, the Rabbanan had to make all sorts of takanos. Some of these takanos are not emes from a Shemayim perspective, but are emes from the perspective of the reality that we live in. So consequently, once emes is brought down to earth, it can be used to rise again to Shemayim as the earthly emes becomes an important tool in our Avodas Hashem. And once there can be a possibility of multiple truths, and each opinion can appreciate that the other is speaking their truth, so to speak, the idea that man's existence is a contradiction to shalom is automatically addressed. We can now have a machlokes l'shem Shemayim, where Shammai and Hillel can be noeg chiba v'reyu zebazel l'kayim ha'shenemar ha'emes v'ha'shalom ehavu yivam estaf yadalid, that you can have people who are on diametrically opposite sides of many different in their opinions on many, many different matters, and yet chiba v'reyus zebazeh, because just because what I'm saying is true doesn't mean that what you're saying, even though you're diametrically opposed, is not true. Elu ve'elu divrei elokim chayim. And that's why the takanos of Shlomo HaMelech, of Netil Siyadayim and Erevin, are considered to be Ashiva Chorfei Dover, the Chorfim, those who objected, those who didn't want the creation of man, Emes and Shalom. Shlomo HaMelech is Mesakein Netil Siyadayim, Shlomo HaMelech is Mesakein Erevin, and he says, no, man can coexist with Emes and Shalom. Once we redefine emes, and then shalom memela is going to follow, when a person has a proper perspective on what in fact is included in emes. Rabbi Yaakov does not take this, or at least in Emes Yaakov, he doesn't take this as a direct mussar to any particular point that he's trying to make, just more of a philosophical idea. But I think the message is so, so critical. You know, we live I don't remember. I mean, elections are always contentious, and arguments about how to handle situations are always contentious. And people often believe that they have a monopoly on the truth, and that there's only one way to see things. But I don't remember a time where society in America, at least in my lifetime, has been so polarized in terms of how we view things. And you know, our avoda, as we've spoken about many times already, our avoda is not to pick a side. It's not to say that there is, that there's absolute MS in one side or the other. Part of our avoda is to appreciate multiple viewpoints. Now, that's not to say that there's no such thing as sheker. There are plenty of things in this world that, in fact, are sheker. But not everything in this world is sheker. And not everything that a person who has something that you don't agree with, not everything else the person says is necessarily sheker. There's a person doesn't become a cheftza of sheker. It could be that there's value to much of what the person is saying. And our avoda certainly, when it comes to relating not only to government officials, not only, which is a whole separate shmooze about how to properly handle that as a Jew in Galus, but when relating to our fellow Jews, when relating to other people, part of what we have to do is to make sure that we absolutely love every other Jew, and that we look for common ground, because there is a lot of common ground, and we look for things that we can learn from, an MS that maybe I would not have been able to see, but someone else is able to see based on their life experience, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu took MS and was a shlichu artsa to give it, not to downgrade it, but it's still the yesod of the world, but to give it a different kind of character, a different kind of nature that maybe we can appreciate. Okay.